Welcome to Forest City Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. We hope that you find today's message encouraging on your journey of figuring out what it looks like to follow Jesus in the 21st century.
John 15, verse 1. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whether you wish and it will be given, it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Church, would you join me in welcoming Laura to the stage?
I bring a lot of things with me, like a true mother, right? You got so much in your diaper bag and your purse. All the things. I have Gaviscon if anyone has some heartburn later. You know, just come to me. I can help you. Oh, Forest City, it's so good to be with you guys today. We love you guys. You know, we came here last summer and had so much fun. And we just love your pastors. Can you give it up for your pastors? They are true gems. They love people so well. They shepherd people so well. They are authentic. They are hilarious. They are wise. They speak just such beautiful prophetic words into people's life and speak the truth of God. And I just love them so much. Love you guys so much. And they're amazing. You know, last summer we were like, oh, can we come stay at your house? And we have a circus. I have three children, and they're wild and loud. And they let us stay at their house, and my youngest puked all over their couch. We did not bring the stomach flu with us, praise the Lord, but we were at the water slides and just the sun all day and being in the hot tub, and he had heat stroke, and he puked all over their beautiful couch and upstairs, and they still let us come back. So we just love you guys so much. But I come from Coastline Church. My lead pastors, Pastor Andy and Lisa Moore, I have served under them for many, many years and love them so much. And just God's doing really cool things on the island. And it's nice to see some people who used to be on the island are out here. It's just one big old family. And I love that so much. So yeah, as Pastor Jordan said, my husband James and I are the campus pastors of Coastline West Shore. We've been there for about almost a year and a half now, and it's just been an incredible journey and just seeing God move in incredible ways. We absolutely love it. And we're so blessed because we get to reap what your pastor sowed. You know, the hard work, the showing up with the trailer. I think Amy's dad used to drive the trailer. Maybe sometimes Jordan would as well on those cold mornings, bringing it to a high school, unloading it. They built this incredible team, set up so many incredible structures. So we just got to walk right in, and after some other pastors who took over after them, and we just got to sow the blessing. We just got to reap the blessing what they sowed, and it's just been so incredible. There are people who were there when they were pastoring, and they're still there, and they're showing up early, and they're just seeing God move in beautiful ways. So thank you guys so much for your investment and deposit into West Shore. Oh, heaven only knows. Yeah. And I'm just an ordinary girl. You know, I have a family photo up of, I think I sent a family photo of my family. And maybe it's okay if you didn't get it. But, they're beautiful. Yeah, they're sweet. So, yeah, there's my hunk of burning love, James. He is a worship leader. He leads worship most often at West Shore Campus. Love him so much. And then we got Luca, my oldest, who is on the right. And then London, who came with me for our girls' ministry trip. She is so sweet on the left. And then we got Leo in the middle. And he is just a third child and so wild. If you have three children, you know, right? You know, I'm also a third child. So my mom is just like, yep, payback time. But anyways, I just love Jesus so much. I met him when I was 18 years old. I was living in London, England, and I walked into a life-giving church and my whole life was transformed. I've been delivered of so much. He's redeemed me. He set my feet on solid rock, right? Like Pastor Jordan said, he is the rock. He pulled me up out of the miry clay, and I'm so thankful for Jesus. And I just am always in awe and amazed at what he continues to do, right? He is good. He is at work. His word is alive and active, and it is transformational, hey? Oh, and what a good word today. Thank you for giving me this beautiful passage to speak on. And why don't I just pray quickly, and let's just invite the Holy Spirit in to just do what he does. So Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, God, that you are here. We thank you, God, that you are so real, that you are at work today. So Holy Spirit, we just want to hear from you this morning. Give us ears to hear and give us hearts to receive. And we thank you for your word, that it goes out and it does what it is accomplished to do. It's going to bear fruit. So Jesus, we just say, have your way this morning. We love you. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. So today, I'm going to talk about gardening. Where are my gardeners at? Hey, some of you, just raise your hands up. You know, I drove by Garden Works yesterday, and it was just so packed. The sun is shining. We live on the blessed coast, don't we? Hey, I think back east they got snow last week, but we get cherry blossom snow in Jesus' name. Amen. And you know, I love gardening. I didn't always love gardening. This happened maybe a few years ago, but it's a hobby that I picked up, and it's one that I love. And I am an amateur gardener, so don't come to me after and ask for tips on your garden. I don't know. I just, you know, I try, lots of stuff dies, but you know what? Some stuff lives, and it's amazing, and I'm just so thankful. But I just find so much joy digging in the dirt, hey? Digging in the dirt. You know, I had these peony bushes at my old house that I planted when I first got married, and we bought a house, and so back in 2014, and we transplanted them to our new house, and they are my favorite. They still bloom. Just last summer, we had 50 peony blooms on these 10 bushes. It was so amazing, and I just love, love, love gardening. But I love that today's text is about gardening, right? You know, in Jesus' last I am statement, this is at the very heart of the farewell discourse, where Jesus is downloading so much important truth to his disciples, right? Oh, it's so beautiful. Even just leading up to Easter, I just encourage you, church, to get into John, read 15, 16, 17, read these beautiful passages that Jesus was sharing before he went to the cross. But in today's passage, he beautifully shares that in and through every single season that you walk in, whether you're being pruned, whether you're producing fruit, or whether you're simply just persevering, that our call through these seasons is to remain connected to Jesus, the true vine, right? Through every single season. So he starts out in 15:1, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. And I love this picture of God as our gardener who tends to our soul. Gardeners care for their gardens. In the winter, they are thinking and dreaming about the plants that they want to see happen in the garden next spring and summer. They're dreaming of what will bloom. What can I move around? What can I plant here in this little space? And they are watching in delight when they plant those seeds. And maybe you are one of those people who plant them inside in January and February, and you're just watching in anticipation as the little plants just rise up out of the dirt. I love doing that with my kids. It's the best thing. That there's just so much delight as you just see something that you planted and invested in and cared for to rise above the dirt and just become a beautiful plant. It's amazing. Gardeners aren't afraid to roll up their sleeves and get down in the dirt, right? They're not afraid to dig in. And there is an intimacy that a gardener has with his plants, right? There is an intimacy, a closeness. You know, my Italian grandmother, she passed away a number of years ago, but she was gardening every season and in through her 90s. I have a picture of her, Nana Rosa. Oh, she's so beautiful. She knew the Lord. She's in heaven with him right now. But she had so much joy in her garden. Gardeners have joy when they work in the garden. God desires a relationship with his children. He wants to do a work in your life. And it started in the original garden, right? At the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, an original garden when God created Adam and Eve and they were in the garden. He's like, be fruitful, multiply. They walked with God in the garden. And so this picture of a vineyard that Jesus paints when he says, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. This would be very familiar language to the Jewish disciples. Just as we Canadians, we have the maple leaf, right? That is our, everywhere you drive, there's Canada flags, and I love it. We are Canadian. We are proud. We have our maple leaf. In ancient Judaism, they had, their vine was their national symbol. That was their national symbol. It was the image on their currency. And they chose this image because it's how God frequently referred to his people. You know, throughout scripture, picture a rich vineyard, those beautiful vineyards producing those grapes. Israel was God's luxurious vine, a vine bearing much fruit in his vineyard. And they were Israelites because they were connected to the vine, the nation of Israel. This was the vine. And that is what made them part of God's people, because they were an Israelite. That's what made them. They were proud. They were part of God. They were God's chosen people. They were an Israelite. They were connected to the vine. So this is a very significant image here. And you know, there's an image in Isaiah 5 where it says, I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard, God as the gardener. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. So there were times when Israel was referred to as a beautiful vineyard. But then we see in verse 2, then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Our God desired an intimacy with his people, right? With his chosen people. But sin got in the way. And all through the Old Testament, we see God's chosen people not looking like a fruitful vine, but looking like one that is decaying, that is rotting, that is going its own way. So when Jesus says, I am the true vine, this is huge. This is significant. It's saying the true vine's not God's chosen people. I am the true vine. He is declaring that all the prophecies and the laws of Israel are fulfilled in him. I am the true Israel. So now he's saying, if you want to be counted among God's people, you have to be connected to me. So what matters is not your ethnicity or your nationalistic home, but the only thing that matters is your relationship to me. The true vine. You know, he's the true vine, the new covenant, the new wine, and it's all in accordance with God's eternal plan, right? All through the Old Testament, they tried to do it on their own. They tried, the sacrifices were made, but they messed up and failed time and time and time again. Sin will separate you, but God had a plan. He sent Jesus. That's why we are celebrating Easter, and we celebrate because Jesus paid the price. He paid the price that we couldn't pay, right? Aren't you so thankful for Jesus? He is the true vine, the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can get to the Father except through him. He's the only way. He is the vine, and we are the branches. Beth Moore writes, if you're in Christ, he is your true vine. Whether you realize it or not, a whole new way of flourishing begins when you know it, when you can count on it, when you live like it, when you let go of the vines you thought were giving you life. He is the vine that will give us life. He came to give us life and life abundantly. Amen? Life to the full. But maybe it's just me. You've been a Christian for a long time. Maybe you're a new Christian and you know that life doesn't always feel abundant and full. Life doesn't always feel like you're walking through smelling peony blooms and picking pears from your pear tree and apples from your apple tree. Life is full of seasons, right? Life is full of seasons. So we're going to go through a few seasons that we go through as Christians. Sometimes they feel like loss. Sometimes you're walking through a season of suffering. Maybe it's called pruning. We're going to talk about pruning today. And you know, in my early journey of gardening, this is something that I neglected to do. I didn't know. Like I said, don't come to me for gardening tips. I didn't know that you're supposed to prune things. But pruning is necessary for any vine. See, an untrimmed vine will develop long, rambling branches that produce little fruit. You know, because most of the strength of the vine is growing to grow the wood. It's an ineffective branch. The gardener is concerned that his vines need to be healthy and productive, right? And John 15:2, Jesus says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. See, our Heavenly Father has the same concern for us. He wants us to be healthy and productive. And there are things that we need to be cut off from our life, amen? That we weren't meant to live with, that maybe you picked up growing up, that you are not meant to live with. And this whole pruning process, it is called sanctification. And that's a normal process. As a Christian, I think it's in 2 Timothy 1:9, we are saved and called to a holy life. So when you meet Jesus and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. That's justification. You are saved. Your sins are wiped clean. Your slate is wiped clean. You are in right standing with God. But then you are called to a holy life. So that is the sanctification process. Because God, he wants to bless you. He wants that abundant life for you. But he doesn't just want you to be happy. He wants you to be holy. Amen? Timothy Keller shares about this amazing perspective that God, be thankful that God is a heavenly father and not a heavenly grandfather. Because what do heavenly grandfathers do? They give the kids what they want. You want a Happy Meal? Here you go. You want candy for breakfast? Here you go. Let's watch 5 hours of screen time. That's totally fine. Just take it. Here you go. We just want you to be happy. But heavenly fathers don't do that, right? Fathers don't do that. Grandfathers do that, but fathers don't do that because we know how you're going to be after you watch 4 hours of screen time. We know how you're going to be when you have candy for breakfast. God's not a heavenly grandfather. He's a heavenly father. He doesn't want to make us happy. He wants to make us holy, you know? But there is blessing. Don't get me wrong. There is blessing in life with Christ, but it's a different blessing than what the world thinks is a blessing. There is a pruning process in our Christian life, you know? But he doesn't prune us to punish us. This is where we get it wrong. Sometimes we think we're being pruned because he wants to punish us. He doesn't prune us to punish us. He prunes us to bless us. So what does God need to cut away from your life? Maybe you're holding something that you need to let go, that you need to surrender to him. Hebrews 12:1 says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, so you can run the race that he has set before you. So sometimes he cuts off stuff that is bad, sin, addiction. He's going to cut it off. But sometimes he just cuts some stuff off that maybe is not necessarily bad, but it's hindering us, you know, that it's not useful. So notice how Jesus says, well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So even the branches that bear fruit, he prunes. And maybe you have felt that. You're saying, God, I'm doing the right things. Like, I'm walking in your will, but things are being pruned. You're doing a work on me. I have to surrender this. Really? You want me to stop doing this? You want me to walk in faith and forget this comfort? He will always do a work in us, friends, because he's not done yet. You know, doesn't Paul say in Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus? It's a lifelong process. And I don't want you to feel discouraged. He does this. He prunes us because he loves us. He loves us too much to let us stay where we are with things that are going to hinder us, things that are going to entangle us. He does it because he loves us. He wants to build character. And pruning can sometimes feel cruel and painful, but the purpose of pruning is to give way to newness of life. You know, when spring and summer come, there is an abundance. There's that harvest of fruit. It's going to bring fruitfulness and blessing. He prunes us to grow us. And sometimes growing can look like shrinking. Oh, man, you know, I'm not a professional. My brother-in-law, David, is here, and he's an incredible runner. I'm very slow, but I love to run. I love to talk to Jesus when I'm running, and I love to, you know, have a challenge. And so I've done a few half marathons. And last year I was training, and 4 days before the race, I sprained my ankle. It was really stupid. I wasn't even running. I was literally walking, fell off a curb, and sprained my ankle. And I remember being like, the race is in 4 days. You know, what's going to happen? I'm so worried. I can't do this. And I saw a physio and he's like, you can do it. It's going to hurt after, but you can do it here. Do all these things. And you know what? During that race, I just had this incredible strength that rose up in me because I was running despite the injury. Like it was crazy. I had so much joy on my face. I was digging into the Lord. I was praying. I was worshiping. And I shaved off 2 minutes after my time the year before with a sprained ankle. And it was the best run. And you know what? Sometimes, that's just a small story. There's way deeper ones where suffering in your life will produce so much blessing, right? Where God brings out so much growth, character is built. I bet you there are testimonies in this room where you have grit like you've never had it before because you saw how faithful God is when you were going through a season of pruning, where you were going through a season of surrendering, where you were going through a season of walking in faith despite how the world would say that you're walking is crazy, but you're walking in faith. And you saw fruitfulness, right? He prunes us to prepare us for the season that he has for us. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. And the next season we're going to talk about is producing. You know, we have an old pear tree in our yard. And it has a fairly good harvest. I don't really like pears, so I don't know. But our kids love it. One of our kids loves them and eats them. But sometimes the kids will just run, as kids do, and grab a branch and break it off. Try to hang from it. It's a very small, it's not a strong tree. And so clearly the branches that fall on the ground that maybe had a bit of fruit growing, clearly they're not going to produce the fruit because they're not connected to the tree. And Jesus says in verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And part of our Christian life is bearing fruit, producing fruit. But Jesus is very clear here. We cannot bear fruit unless we remain in him. And our primary call as a Christian is to be with Jesus, is to be with Jesus. And it sounds so simple, but if you want a fruitful life that blesses others, you need to be connected to Jesus, connected to the vine. We can't produce fruit when we're disconnected. We can't will fruit into existence. We can't work hard and produce it. That branch that's lying on the ground, it's not going to produce fruit. It's got to be connected to the tree, right? Even good things won't produce it. It only comes from remaining in Jesus. Producing only comes from abiding. You know, he is the vine and we are the branches. The vine makes the fruit possible. You have a Savior who desires a closeness and intimacy. And I love the way that Eugene Peterson says in the Message, live in me, make your home in me. We can choose to abide in the one who is stronger, who is wiser, who knows us completely and who loves us. Remain in him. Come to church. Jesus is here, but Jesus is out there too because he lives in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. It's an everyday relationship, right? And the Greek word meno is for remain. Remain translated to meno, and it means to be in a state that begins and continues. It's a continuous decision to walk with Jesus, to rest in him, spend time with him. I am the vine, verse 5. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus says. And he's not talking like, oh, you won't be able to walk down the street without me. But he's saying, when you live without me, you're going to live an ordinary life. You're going to live an ordinary life. But when you're with me, if you walk with me, just watch what I can do. Just watch what I can do in your life. A naturally unexplainable life. That's the life that we live with Jesus. It's extraordinary. And there are blessings. There are miracles. But sometimes extraordinary will look like you have more patience for your children. Maybe it's being gentle when somebody cuts you off in traffic and you smile at them. You know, you're kind. Maybe it's an unexplainable peace that you have when the world around you is crumbling. Maybe it's joy that you have when you're walking through a season of suffering. Maybe it's a supernatural love and a grace that you have for someone. You have the power to forgive them who has wronged you. Maybe it's self-control to say no to the addiction, to get help. Walk humbly and get help that you need. Maybe it's spreading kindness in a toxic environment. This is supernatural fruit as well, friends. You know, it's not just blessings and miracles. This is extraordinary in our world. You know, and who gets to enjoy the fruit? Others, right? The branches don't eat the fruit. Others get to enjoy the fruit. It's a continued production that depends on constant union with the source of the fruitfulness. And this is a community, I see it, that bears fruit. There is joy on your faces, and the world around you will see the fruit that Jesus is producing through you. You know, verse 8, it was, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So there will be seasons of pruning, there'll be seasons of producing, and there's going to be seasons of persevering. You know, my peony bushes, a couple years ago, I did all the same things that I was doing for them. I actually Googled how to take care of my peony bushes because I really love them. And they had 3 blooms, 10 bushes, 3 flowers. Isn't that crazy? And the year later had over 50. And God reminded me in that moment that there are seasons where you may feel like he's not doing much. You're connected to him. You're walking with him. You're obedient to him. And you see 3 measly blooms on the outside. And you're like, why, Lord? Why? And it's frustrating, especially if you've seen him move in the past. You're like, why? This is a season of perseverance. And you know, maybe it's a season that you're walking through and you feel unseen. And let me tell you, friends, that unseen does not equal insignificant. That's right, it does not. What does Galatians 6:9 say? Let us not become weary in doing good work, in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And weary is translated to give up, to become discouraged, to lose heart. You know, maybe you're in a dormant season right now and you are feeling discouraged. And we live in an instant society, right? You want food, you order it on your phone. You want this thing from Amazon or a Canadian shop, you order it on your phone. There are years of waiting for people in the Bible, right? Read your word. See what God did in people in the Bible. Joseph was in prison for 13 years. Moses waited 80 years to glimpse the promised land that he wasn't even going to walk in. He waited 80 years. Abraham waited 25 years for his son to be born. And I'm always so amazed at this long faith. That's what about our life is, friends. The long faith. We're in the long game. God plays the long game. And Romans 4 says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. He believed through the dormant season that God was at work. He believed God against all hope. What others were saying, look how old you are. You're not going to have a baby. Your wife's not going to have a baby. She's not going to get pregnant. He believed. Our God is a God of hope. And his timing is the best timing. It's the best timing. You know, when I became a Christian and when I was 18 living in London, England, I knew in that time that I wanted to be a pastor. I knew that I wanted to preach the word of God. And that was a long time ago. I've been a Christian now longer than that. I'm trying to do the math. Can't explain it right now. But I've been a Christian since I was 18. Been a Christian more of my life than I haven't been a Christian. There we go. And I didn't see that dream come to fruition right away, right? I didn't see that dream. And when I met my husband and we started dating, you know, we just wanted to serve God together. I wanted to serve side by side with him. And, you know, I was working in the church and I wanted to pastor with him. I was like, this is going to be amazing. And I would see these amazing pastors, see these friends. But our life didn't look like others' lives. You know, we went through some really hard seasons in our early marriage. And that dream of us pastoring together, I kind of just buried it in the dirt. And I felt like I was just walking through a season of, okay, God, don't know when this is going to happen. I know this is a dream that you've put on our hearts, put in my heart, and I don't see it ever happening. And I just had to keep staying the course. And I wasn't always happy. I wasn't always joyful. There were tears. There was bitterness. But I had a trust that God would work it out in his timing. And so when our lead pastors came to us over a year and a half ago and asked us to be the campus pastors, I remember God speaking to me in that moment. And he said, hey, do you remember that dream that you buried in the dirt? Well, I dug it up and I made it grow and I did it in my time, in my timing. If we had been pastors years ago, it would have been horrible. I trust the Lord. I trust his timing. There was character that needed to grow. There was growth that needed to happen. And sometimes it looked like I was shrinking. And maybe for you, you feel like you're in a dormant season. Trust the gardener. He knows. He is faithful. His ways are better than our ways. His timing is better than our timing. Stay the course. And in these eight verses, we see remain is used eight times. Remain, remain, remain in me as I also remain in you. And what just jumped out to me from the page the other day, remain in me as I also remain in you. As you remain in Jesus, he's already remaining in you. through every season, the good or the bad, he is walking with you. He is faithful even if you haven't been faithful. Jesus is with you. He is for you. He's not afraid of the dark places. Maybe you're in a dark place right now. You can be honest with him. What does his word say? When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Do not lose heart. He is with you through the dormant seasons. He is faithful. And sometimes it's like he's holding a bow and arrow, right? And you are that arrow and you just feel like you are being just stretched and stretched and stretched and you are moving further and further and further away from what God has for you. But if he lets the arrow go too soon, it's just gonna fly a couple feet, right? But if he stretches you and stretches you, and almost like you're like, I can't stand this anymore, he lets it go in his timing, that arrow will fly. That's what he does, church. That's what he does. He is gonna let you go in his timing and it is gonna fly. You are gonna fly. There is blessing. So what season are you in right now? Are you in a season of pruning? Are you a season of producing, persevering? Maybe it's about a season of just letting go of the other vines that you're holding on to and remaining in Jesus. You can trust in him. Remain in him. Stand your ground in him. The master gardener is tending to your soul. You can trust him. You can trust him, church. So I'm going to pray right now. The Holy Spirit is speaking. He wants to encourage you right now. God, we thank you that you know each and every person in this room, God, and you love them. You know what they are walking through. You know the situations. You know the anxiety that is keeping them up at night, Lord. And God, you are walking with them. God, I just pray that your church would, you would remind your church that you are there, that you are with them, that you are faithful, that you are good, that you want to see them bear fruit for you, that's going to glorify you, that's going to change this city, Jesus. But God, if there's stuff that needs to be cut off, if there's stuff that we need to surrender, God, we just surrender it to you. We just say, we just proclaim your freedom in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray your strength for those who are going through the dormant season in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask for your guidance, Holy Spirit, to bear fruit that glorifies you. Jesus, you are the vine and we are the branches. And God, you are the gardener. And we want to bear fruit that will bless your name. So Holy Spirit, I just pray that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done in Burnaby as it is in heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in more resources, messages, or signing up for our current events, you can find everything on our website at forestcitychurch.ca.